Hello, you're about to listen to the movie mixtape with Dirk and Marcy. It's the start of a new mixtape. We're calling it Christmas Presents. We'll explain it a little bit more at the beginning of the episode, but we're also joined by Kablasto and another surprise guest, his better half, Megan. She also joined us, and the four of us discuss one of our favorite Christmas movies of all time, The Muppet Christmas Carol. So please sit back, relax, and enjoy the mix.
The lamp, not the rat. Hello, Marcy.
How Hello, are you Dirk. Doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Feeling good. Feeling real good because this is the start of a new mixtape for us here on the Movie Mixtape, and it is episode 41. And it's a real special episode this week, is it not, Marcy?
It's a very special episode, actually. There's a lot of things going on in this episode today.
Why is it special? What is so amazing?
Well, we've got guests. We promised Kablasto last week, but we also have Megan here today. And so, hi, Kablasto. Hi, Megan. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
And pray do tell. Who is Megan?
That would be my significant other. So,
oh, I love it.
Or that's who I paid to be my significant other, you know.
This is actually one of those cameo videos.
That's right.
Megan to join us.
Megan, listen, don't feel like he's just besmirched your entire romance there by acting like he has to pay for human company. We know it was a consensual choice to be together. Welcome, Megan, to the show.
Thank you. It's nice to finally meet you both.
Yeah, it's so nice to have you here, Megan. Thank you. And you'll keep Kablasto in check, so thank you. We appreciate that in advance.
I try. I can't make any promises.
She's out of arm's reach purposefully. So, but, and for the record, what I pay her, she pays me double. So, you know.
And you know what you should do?
Quality.
What you should do is you don't pay anything, and then she just gives you the normal amount. So then there's only one transaction and not two.
I've got my money's worth out of this podcast.
Well, and so.
Yes.
This is episode 41, like we said, and we are going to talk about a movie called The Muppets Christmas Carol later on. And it is the start of a new mixtape, like we said. And we're calling it Christmas Presents, right, I think, Marcy?
I don't know. You had such a nice way of explaining it, and I kind of just keep forgetting how to explain it and what it's called. So I'll let you handle this.
Well, we're calling it Christmas Presents, and it's we'll elaborate a little bit in a minute. But obviously, it is the festive season. Hello, come in, sit down. You'll be more comfortable. And so we're going to do a Christmas movie today, specifically The Muppets Christmas Carol, because I feel like it's certainly my favorite Christmas movie. And also Kablasto and Marcy. Megan, is it your favorite Christmas movie or not?
Oh, it's definitely up there in my top couple for sure. Yeah. Watched it since counts. I was very, very little.
Oh, me too, Megan. That's why it's so special to me.
Well, It was a non-committal answer though, wasn't it? So, you know, I will wait to hear that unravel later on.
But you'll notice she said a couple.
Yeah.
And she said since she was little. She didn't say young. You know, and she did have a growth spurt this past year. So
this is our Christmas present to each other because we all love this film, and having Kablasto and Megan on is a present to me and Marcy. And then what we're going to do after this, Marcy, is instead of picking movies for each other that the other person hasn't seen, we're just going to pick whatever flipping movie we want, and that is a Christmas present to ourselves, and we're just going to take the stress out of it and go, we really just want to watch this movie. It doesn't have to be a Christmas film, but that's the plan. That's what I think the plan is.
Yeah, or you can check all the boxes. Maybe that's what one of us is going to do.
Are these puns? See. Is it like boxes? Checking the boxes?
I don't mean to.
Like under
I'm
the tree?
Sorry.
And Christmas presents?
It's the Dirk's dad jokes are like kind of rubbing off on me. That's how long we've been doing this.
My sardonic wit cannot be written off as purely dad jokes. But so there's also a kind of a little reason why we're doing it this way and not sticking to the usual format. And that's because we've got a bit of good news.
That Megan and I are here.
That is some good news. Yes. And we've also got some additional good news, Marcy.
So we are going to be going week by week for the next couple weeks. We'll see what happens. Anything we do, promise we will eventually do. But we're going to have a break coming up. We don't know for how long. We'll see. But I'm having a baby.
What? Right this second?
Oh. Right this second. Okay. Some baby's first podcast. Wrong.
Yeah. It was good timing to record, I guess. Or bad timing, depends. Highest rated episode.
Is too soon. Oh, yeah. Oh my gosh, would everyone like to be traumatized for the holiday season? Yes. But I am due at the end of the month. We'll see. Babies kind of make up their own mind and they kind of show up when they want to. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to go carefully through December and try to get as many done as we can before this baby's here, before we take our break. So, yeah.
Well, congratulations, Marcy. Well done.
Oh, thanks. It's like you didn't know her.
you technically do record just from, like, you know, the shoulders up. So
yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Being able to hide.
Surprise, everybody. Yeah.
Well, we're all pleased as punch that this baby's going to be here soon.
Right.
And if the Lord of the podcast say that we have to have a break, then we will have a break, because you know what? Who doesn't love a brand new baby?
Oh, I thought you were going to say, who doesn't love a break?
Well, I was going to say.
Listen, I have an internal monologue.
Dirk has been waiting for this break forever.
So, yeah, that's a good bit of news, isn't it?
Yeah, it's exciting. It's very exciting. I will definitely miss doing this for a little bit, but
then the baby's taking over.
I know.
Yeah, the baby, baby's going to know how to talk as soon as they're here, and they're going to know how to wear headphones. I mean, like, I've been telling them how to podcast, you know, this whole time. So when they're here, they're ready.
Parenting by example. I can probably guarantee you won't miss this, Marcy. Because you will be otherwise distracted, okay?
I think it's going to be easy. I think it'll be a walk in the park.
As the only mother here, mm-hmm. I will say that it's incredibly easy having a baby and a child. Yes.
Kablast, the mother of all podcasts.
Yeah. As I'm feeding my six children, just look away.
Terrifying.
Yeah, well, breastfeeding, obviously, you know, I wanted to make that clear, you know.
Oh my god,
not formula.
Oh man,
well, we cannot wait to meet Mr. Darcy Dale whenever he or she shows up. But yeah, let's embrace this moment that we're all together. I'm embracing you now.
God bless us, everyone.
Remove your hand.
That's it.
Just me.
Yeah.
Well, I think we had some other fun news this week too. You and I got some comics in the mail. Did you want to talk about that?
Don Rickles and
Don Rickles. Don, the ghost of Don Rickles.
Yes.
Okay, delivered the comic book.
Yes. Well, you said comics, and I went elsewhere with that.
Oh my gosh. Oh man. He tells you a joke while he delivers you comic books. Good. The ghost of Don Rickles. I mean, you know, that would be amazing if that actually happens.
I don't know what John Rickles is.
Don Rickles.
Don Rickles, Mr. Potato Head from the Toy Story.
Yes. Yeah, that's how he's known.
I mean, well, I think that's how, like, in dirt terms, that's how he will know who Don Rickles is.
Oh wait, who's a British Eric Idle. There you go. John Cleese.
He's Eric Idle. Oh.
Yes, he's Eric Idle. Monty Python. You love that comedian.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah. Monty. Yeah. He's brilliant. Monty. We were talking a bit about comics before in a previous episode, weren't we? In the fact that they're a warm blanket for me. And that was our last mix, warm blanket mixtape. And Jeremy Brooks and his comic. But John Coates and James Coates, they are a comic creating duo of brothers. That's right, brothers. Brothers working together. And John has certainly written in, I think, to the show before. And he sent us copies of their new comic. Look at the state of this. Well, you can't see it at home, or you could. Yeah, what I'll do is I'll,
audio,
I will put their website in the what's this episode notes. I forgot what we were doing then. But this one I'm holding up right now is the one I've read, Ninja 4, Dark Vengeance.
Did you read Ninja 1 through 3?
No, I think it's based on the Ninja films. And I think Ninja 4 is like, because it follows, I don't know, maybe I've made that bit up, but it's certainly a homage to those
Do you have 80s. Ninjas in England?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, I just walked past the window now. Get back home, ninja.
Not a very good ninja, if you saw that ninja walk by.
He was wearing like one of those high-vis jackets, so it could have just been the bin men. But I don't know what you thought, Marty, but I flipping loved it.
Beautiful. They're beautiful comics. And then they also write Dino Beast, which is also really cool, but just beautiful artwork. Yeah,
I like Dirk how you say beautiful, showing. And Dirk is holding up the most visceral image that I've ever seen. Megan is crying right now while throwing up.
But if you're not crying and throwing up reading a comic, then that comic isn't good enough, okay?
Lots of people
when I walk into the room.
Lots of people get their necks snapped in it.
Oof.
Like
who doesn't enjoy that? That's exciting.
Tell you who doesn't enjoy that? Kano from Mortal Kombat.
What's the line? Thanks for the...
Give me a break.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
then she breaks his neck. It's hilarious.
Oh!
And then she gave him a Kit Kat.
Well, it's not murder if you say a witty one-liner.
Yeah, well, we know that from Arnold Schwarzenegger films. thanks so much, John. I mean, these genuinely
are... thank you, John.
I think you know, that when I look at independent creators, comic creators, and they're always... They kind of put their stuff on Kickstarter, it's hard to kind of understand, like, what the actual finished product is going to be. And it was incredible. It's like, massive.
That looks...
glossy.
That looks very high quality.
It's really
such high quality. It really
the
is.
Dino Beast one is really nice, too. And we're going to put a link for their shop in the show notes so everybody can go check those out.
Huge,
so definitely fun comics
to
read. Yeah. Thank you, John. That was so nice of you. So thank you.
Thanks, John. But we've got Cablasto and Megan on. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, guys.
What? Oh, hi. Oh, I didn't see you there.
Hey.
Hey.
Oh, hi.
I was going to ask, how is Spaghetti and Freddy going on?
It's back, baby. We took a break between seasons, which we recorded so far in advance. This is a little behind the scenes. I think I can reveal that. I don't even know how much of a gap there was for the general public, if any. But now we're recording a lot more live, week to week. So, you know, we can talk about relevant things happening in the news, like South Park. You know, we can theme around what's going on.
Mm-hmm. What do you think's easier, doing it like more current, or do you like recording? Because we were recording ahead of time for a couple weeks, and then life just happened, and we like had to take a couple breaks. But we were like, then eventually we ran out of podcasts. That's what happened.
I'd say both are equally easy for me because Yoli does all the editing. All I do is show up. So she's the one really doing the heavy lifting. So. I would think recording a little bit ahead is probably good, but
if you need like a little bit of cushion,
buffer,
But I was laughing because I was listening like you know to your Jason versus is it Freddy versus Jason? Yeah, Freddy versus Jason.
And you had Chuck and Dale on. That's fine. Yeah.
You had Chuck and Dale on from Bat and Spider.
Yeah,
but somehow it was like right around Thanksgiving and Dale was somehow bringing up turkey platters and I had thought that had recorded that around Thanksgiving. No, it was like September, I think, or something. But I was like, wow, Dale just knew. I think that it was going to come out.
We honestly had no idea when that episode was going to air recording. I guess it worked out. I haven't got back and listened to it.
It was a fun episode. It was really fun.
It will be easier for me to remember what we talked about if people bring things up in the Discord, which everyone should join. Outside of that, I don't think it'll make a huge difference. Mm-hmm. And I think for the holiday, we're going to take a little break anyway. So probably.
So
you just want to be like us. You want to take a break.
In every way. So. That's right. Yeah. And so Yoli's going to have a British accent. Yes? Yes, dear?
I was just going to say Spaghetti and Freddy is a real podcast with a Discord. So... like you just mentioned, and you should join that. The Misfit, what's it? The Island of Misfit podcast, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. And Megan just finally understood as of last night what that is a reference to, is she had never seen
what?
Rankin Bass, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Megan, what? I have never seen it either. I didn't know that was a reference to
But
anything.
You're not American, so that's fine. But Megan,
it is, isn't it? It flipping is.
Had super fuzzy memories of it, but okay. I couldn't recall like having watched it all the way through.
Yeah. Not warm and fuzzy memories, super fuzzy. There's a difference.
Super fuzzy. Yeah.
But yeah.
Did you like it? Did you enjoy it, Megan?
I did, yeah. It was okay. Cute.
It's cute, yeah.
No flipping clue what you're talking.
That was her the whole time.
It's like the claymation Rudolph. I think you probably have seen images.
Don't tell me what I've seen, Marcy. Yeah.
Like, Dirk, you definitely have seen this Rudolph. Well, I'm telling you, like, you might not have seen the movie, but I bet you've seen, you know, the song that, what, Burl Ives is the snowman and he sings
Frosty,
the songs. You know these songs.
The snowman.
Different movie.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, these characters are pretty iconic in this one.
Keep going. Keep singing Christmas songs so I can tell you that they're all wrong. Sing every
Christmas
song. I
know Christmas songs. Jingle bells, jingle bells.
No. Oh, wait. No. Not that one either. Okay. No. Two hours into the shit. I can keep going. But anyway, yeah, Island Misfit Podcasts. I don't think you'll be able to Google it.
We'll put a link in it something, won't we?
We're off the map. You want to check in on Marcy's baby? I'm sure she'll be.
Yeah, I'm not even gonna share pictures with my family. I'm just gonna put it in that Discord.
Good. Get your family to join.
That's where my family has to join.
That's right. That works.
And just to reassure everybody, if Marcy does give birth during the recording, we will let you know, and then continue with the podcast.
That's right.
Megan's just gonna take over for my part when I have this baby.
Take over mothering your child. That's not fair to Megan. All right, she's an experienced mum.
What did I sign up for?
You have to take over.
Megan is slowly backing away.
Yeah. I think really it meant mothering Dirk.
Yeah.
Good. I'm up for that. We
all know that's what Marcy does every week.
She does. She always looks at me before we record and goes, "Your hair's not right." Fusses me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You get schmutz on your face.
Yeah. So. Spits on a hanky and shoves it on my cheek.
Mails it to him.
Yeah, that's right.
So he can clean his face.
What else are we talking about? You want to talk about Christmas or anything?
We're going to talk about the greatest Christmas movie of all time.
Oh.
Are we allowed to talk about Christmas on this podcast?
Yeah.
We say holidays? We're saying Christmas? Okay.
Oh, is that you being political? I don't
understand. Megan's pagan, you know? Okay. Like, sacrificing. Believe me, as a pro-goat individual, I've stopped her from sacrificing many of them, but you know.
Well, we're gonna discuss the famous film The Holiday Carol.
That's right.
There we go. I've done it for you. I've done something there. I don't know. Played along with it. Don't get it really. Do you wanna just go into it now? What do you want to do?
Yeah, I think you wrote a synopsis. You told me you did at least. I did
write a synopsis.
Yeah. Dirk just pulled out Santa's scroll with the lists.
From his sack. Dirty old bugger. Okay.
Half of us get that joke.
Yeah. Marcy's baby didn't get it. Okay.
I'm already doing earmuffs on this poor kid. Like earmuffs.
Okay, so yeah, we're gonna do The Christmas Carol from 1992.
Wait. Yeah? It's not even the name.
What is not the name?
That's not the name of the movie.
So what is the name of the movie?
You left off the big
it's Muppet Christmas Carol.
That's what I said. Did I not say that?
You said Christmas Carol.
All right. You three are all in agreement, so I can only presume I made a mistake. Unlikely as it seems.
I didn't think that happened on this show.
No.
But,
But the Muppets Christmas Carol from 1992.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
Whew,
okay.
I'm all sweating now over here. Sweating. directed by Brian Henson. In it. Gonzo, Kermit, Rizzo the Rat, and the chef from Sweden, Michael Caine, he wears a hat. Beaker, me. Scrooge is such a tight old sod, no coal for use as fuel. Tiny Tim will pray to God, but his death will come soon.
Oh my God.
Visited by spirits three, Scrooge changes his mood. Good may still yet come to be, just don't eat singing food. Lessons learned to be merry, big turkey to devour. Christmas cheer, oh so very, Scrooge no longer sour. There we go. That's the Muppets, the Muppets Christmas Carol.
There you go. Brilliant.
I can honestly that say amazing. That's my favorite one you've ever done.
Thanks.
It's good.
Wrote it high on crack.
So good.
With a baby asleep upstairs crying. That's your future, Marcy. High on crack with a baby asleep.
Can't wait. Cannot wait.
I just went some dark place there. I just probably wish I hadn't.
I think you did when you mentioned Tiny Tim in your synopsis.
Oh my god.
So yeah, the Muppets Christmas Carol. I think we all love it, don't we?
Yeah, I think we should start off by saying happy birthday because it just turned 30 this year. So happy birthday, Muppets.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Muppets Christmas Carol. You're 30 years old. 30 years old. The key of the door.
Okay, yeah. I'm old enough. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw this movie in the theater. So I'm
wow. Yeah,
I saw it with my mom and my grandma.
Stop. Yes? Stop, Kevin. Stop.
I'm done.
No. Let Marcy ask that question first.
Marcy,
no,
Marcy's
thank
favorite
you
question.
For sharing.
Marcy, ask me if I saw this in the theater with my mom and my grandma.
Kalasta, did you see this? Hey, Kalasta, just
hi, Marcy.
Did you see this in a theater with your mom and grandma?
Oh, I did.
Question mark? Oh, wow. Yes. Wow.
I did.
Holy crap.
I don't know how you knew.
Wow.
But yeah.
Oh, man, I'm so surprised right now. Yeah. So.
Or me mom.
Me mom.
And me grandmummy. Oh, I believe is.
I thought I could hear my own voice in my ear cans.
That's right.
Was that Dirk?
Do you remember much about going to see it in the?
Yeah, theater? I do. I remember everything. I remember. I'm not even joking for once. But I honestly remember where we sat in the theater. And it was my grandma on my left, my mom on my right, and I was a big Muppet fan prior to that. Obviously, it wasn't my first Muppets. Are you kidding?
Get out of here with that suggestion.
No. Muppets in Manhattan, I watched religiously. That was my Muppet movie that I went to. Not the Muppet movie, but my Muppet movie. And so we saw this one in the theater. I remember RIP when Jim Henson died. So I was old enough to understand that because my parents would take me through graveyards and dig up bodies and, you know, to fully understand death and how that goes. Show me my own tombstone, my own grave, so I could fully understand. And Jim Henson was dead. And Marcy's face.
This is kind of like how the Christmas Carol starts.
It is.
The Marleys were dead. Yes, you're like, exactly. Jim Henson was dead.
Exactly. So, it was a big deal to see the movie after knowing Jim Henson was gone. To see them do anything without him.
Oh, wow.
So what year did he pass away? I don't remember.
It was 2 years before this. Oh, wow. But that's interesting. Like, did you know? Did you have that context for when you went in?
Because at the time, the Jim Henson Hour was a thing on TV, you know, years prior.
Yeah.
And so he was, you know, my Walt Disney, really. And that the Jim Henson Hour, he would come out and he would talk to the camera. And before introducing the show, I think it was like they show the storyteller and something else. I think I can't remember the name of the Muppet show at the time. I could have, I thought about it. That doesn't matter. It was mainly the fact that he would come out. And so I had a really familiar idea of him as not just someone behind the camera, this nameless guy. So, yeah, I did remember when he died. And I remember my mom just she was just like, oh, he had the flu and he didn't go to the doctor. I still remember her telling me that. So in my mind, that's how he died, which is not technically 100% correct. So, yeah, I remember went and saw it and I'm like, how are they going to do this without him? And I remember as a kid, let's see, what year did this? You said 30 year. So, yeah, I was around 10. Yeah, I was around 10. And I remember even then harshly paying attention to the voice of Kermit because I knew that wasn't Jim doing the voice anymore. So as a 10-year-old, every year since, I've judged the voice of Kermit. But I was happy.
It's really bad now, though.
It's gone to shit. If you can say that on this podcast.
Yes.
But yeah, no. It it was good then, and I'm still happy with it.
Megan, do you remember the first time you saw this movie?
We had it on VHS as a kid. I don't know if I remember my first time specifically, but my family loved the Muppets, and we'd watch all things Muppets, and this was definitely a staple movie that we would watch every year multiple times. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that sounds really similar to like how I grew up with it. So I was too young to see it in a theater, but I remember getting it the following year. So I was 3 in 93, and I got it on VHS as a Christmas present. And then every year since then, I watch it Christmas Eve. And normally with my mom, if my mom can come over now, like to the house, she'll watch it with me Christmas Eve.
You still watch VHS?
Yes. No, I don't know where. I don't have the VHS anymore, but I do have it on DVD, and like conveniently it's on the Plus now. Yeah. So yeah, I grew up with this movie, and I think just growing up with it. And then I've always loved the Muppets too. So my mom like definitely got me into the Muppets, thankfully, you know. and I just love this movie so much. And I think that's why it's just like the one I remember like always watching, and it never gets like, you know, like you never get tired of it. It's always good every year. Doesn't matter what age you are. So something like really special about that. And now Dirk, I'm going to ask you, like, what do you remember? Did you go to the theater to see this? Do you remember?
I can't remember if I went to the theater, but much like has been said, it's the film that you look forward to watching every single year at Christmas, I think. And in the last few years, I haven't gotten around to watching it. So this is the first time I've seen it in a little while, which is mainly because just with the kids and finding the time to actually sit down and watch it. Because I think traditionally I'd always be like, it's Christmas Day rather than Christmas Eve for me, I think. And so you'd want to watch it like on Christmas Day. But Christmas Days are so busy, and my daughter isn't necessarily into the Muppets. So, but she's 8 now, and I really feel I could go for it this year. I think it's going to happen. The magic will melt.
You need to let me know, because Megan is a 9-year-old, and I was trying to do it. We did a watch along in the Discord last week, and I was saying, like, you know, she'll sometimes grab the remote and want to turn the TV off if it's not something she wants to watch. And I said, you can't do that for this one, because we're syncing up and watching it with other people. And so, you know, she just put her headphones on, and she's like, oh, I don't want to watch this movie. I hate this movie. And she's never seen the movie. She doesn't know what movie it was.
Yeah, I think that's it. Like, Bets has never seen the movie. Yeah. It's just, you know, I think it's the idea of, I think because we grew up with the Muppets, I think we were probably all, I mean, we're all slightly different ages, but we grew up with the Muppets. And, you know, I grew up with Fraggle Rock, you know, that whole kind of the industry of Jim Henson and the Dark Crystal and, you know, all of that was everywhere in when I was a kid growing up. And so it's just in your blood, isn't it? And it is comfort. It's so comforting to see, I don't know, Kermit or Gonzo on the TV. Just takes you back to a place of well, when you didn't have to worry about your mortgage payments or and stuff like that, or Marty's impending labor, you know. We didn't have to worry about those sorts of things. You could just laugh and feel comforted. And I think one of the themes that we often come back to on here, apart from dads, am I right, is like a kind of a found family motif that we seem to somehow find ourselves sucked at. Those are the seem to be the type of films that we pick. And this is a flipping found family, isn't it? Like that whole like Kermit, Miss Piggy, Fozzie, Gonzo. I mean, they're not related. They're not even the same species. And yet, you know, they're as close as kin. Absolutely. You could not tell me that these guys are not as close can be. And I think there's that kind of the warmth just emanates whenever you put it on.
I did want to conclude that story about the 9-year-old by saying it was funny. I don't know if they're doing cookies or something in the kitchen, but I heard in hushed tones, as if everyone could hear Ellie. Sorry, I don't hopefully hear the child. I didn't mean to out her name, Megan. Megan, please control your rage. Megan, stop breaking things. She's like animal over here. But anyway, regardless, I heard her asking Megan questions. She's like, is that guy mean? Why is that guy so mean? Did that did that character die? Like, so she was very interested in the movie.
Yeah.
But rather than engaging with the movie and watching it with me. And also she goes to me there at the beginning. She's like, is this the one with the evil Kermit? She's like, I've seen this one. And like, and I'm like, no, it's not. It's not that one. And so then past that, she was just very curious. So I think I will show it to her probably this year.
Yeah, I think she'll do it. And she knows some of the characters because there's a newer Muppet Babies show that she'll watch as well.
That's right.
Like the 3D animated style one.
It used to freak me out, the Muppet Babies. I wasn't really, like, I watched it because it was the Muppets, but, like, I was always like, why are we only seeing the legs of the grown-ups? That really freaked me out. I didn't like it. I couldn't settle with it.
That's funny.
I was all in on Muppet Babies as a kid. I watched that all the time.
Inhaled it.
Yeah, I always got confused because Scooter has a sister on Muppet Babies. And then she never showed up.
Never again.
Classic so Muppets.
You know, one twin eats the other to become more powerful. So that's what I
think. The weakest link.
That's right.
Okay.
I also had a poster in my bedroom as a kid of Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem. That's serious. And so I don't know where the hell it came from. I don't remember ever picking it out, but I happen to have it. So, but I just had like rotating posters in my bedroom as I was growing up, in other words, of the Art Adams X-Men. And so it's like very specific things in my room that just like really influenced me. By coincidence, I think Megan, you, that same exact image of Dr. T, you had a history with that too.
Yeah.
Didn't you?
I had it, but in a puzzle format. I think my dad took a poster or a folder or something and like used a jigsaw and made it into a puzzle. So I remember playing with that as a kid.
Yeah. So odd that.
Yeah. Random.
So that's how you two met.
That's right.
It's all because of Dr. Keith.
I've heard crazier.
Dr. Keith convention. Yeah.
Marcy went there before I was able to.
Well, just to come back to the context of the film, as Cablasto was saying. So this is 2 years after Jim Henson had passed away. So I think that there was a real uncertainty, wasn't there, about what was going to happen next with the Muppets. From what I can gather was before Jim Henson had passed away, he wasn't even really sure what he was going to do next with the Muppets. And I think he was on about putting them in like in a theme park in Disneyland or something. That was the next big project. But then when he passed away, I think Brian Henson, his son, and all the crew got together and decided that they wanted to continue. And this was the very first thing they did after his death, which I think, as you were saying, it adds a total new context that this is them starting again, isn't it? Trying to find themselves a little bit of where they are right now. And that isn't Jim Henson being Kermit. It's Steve Whitmire, I think is his name. And so one of the things that I didn't realize until I'd kind of watched it and then kind of read a little bit about it with it being the 30th anniversary is that they made a really specific choice to minimize Kermit's role in the film because they just didn't want to expose the fact that it wasn't Jim anymore. And so that's why he's kind of like a little bit, he's Bob Cratchit, which is one of the big things, but he's not, it's Gonzo and Michael Caine a lot, isn't it, really, as your big stars?
You're leaving someone out.
Yeah. Go on.
And Rizzo.
And Rizzo.
That's right.
Rizzo.
Yeah.
He was also Rizzo's Steve Whitmire.
My favorite.
I think we say, Whitmire.
Whitmire. Okay.
Yeah. So
that's. I'm happy to be corrected on my pronunciation. I've done it enough. Done it enough times to Marcy.
Between. You also say Muppets over there, and we say Muppets.
We say, cool blimey, governor, what a load of old Muppets. We do actually use Muppet as an insult over here.
You Muppet, we say that.
It's a proper insult. It's a that nationwide we would be recognized. So what's everybody's favorite bits? Megan, do you have a favorite bit in the movie?
I have a couple of favorite parts. I love the introductory scene with the song where Scrooge comes in.
Yeah.
And my other favorite part is probably the Ghost of Christmas Present. He just gives me like the warm and fuzzy feeling that I don't know, that I think of when I think of this movie.
Would you say it feels like Christmas?
It does. It feels like Christmas.
I can sing it.
I love Rizzo all throughout.
Mm. Oh, yeah. That's what I love about the 90s Muppet movies is the dream team of Gonzo and Rizzo. Because Muppet Treasure Island I also really love. And they're really prominent in that movie, too. And Kielbasa and I have talked about it a bunch of times. I think Kielbasa did the research as to why Rizzo isn't in Muppet movies anymore. But, man, I just love Gonzo and Rizzo together. Like, anything Rizzo. Like, I literally say this every day, but, like, God save my little broken body. Like, it's, like, one of my favorite things ever. And just, or, like, when he's using him to clean the window and he's like, thank you for making me a part.
Yes.
And, like, just, like, them together. And, like, you know, or, like, even when he's like, oh, yeah, Mr. Hoity Toity. And Gonzo's like, I'm like so insulted. Or what does he do? I can't remember what he does to him, but he kisses his nose. Yeah, he kisses Gonzo's nose. Like, that is so just cute. The best.
It's with the jelly beans, I think, isn't it? They're having a little kind of disagreement over the jelly beans, and they're both just staring at each other for slightly too long, and so he gives him a little kiss on his snout.
which I think is an ad lib.
Yeah, is it?
Yeah, I love it.
I can't believe that's an ad lib. I can believe
they would just play around.
Anything they do together, just like that's when he so gets good. The door slammed on him and he's like hugging him like for comfort, like it'll be okay.
I was going to say, I've been in a wrestling promo battle against this. I was the good guy against this other guy, and we were back and forth in this promo, and there was this really awkward silence at the end. And so I just gave him a big kiss and just walked off. Thank you, Rizzo, for being a constant inspiration in my life.
Marcy's naming her baby Rizzo, regardless of gender.
Middle name, reminder.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It is a protest to get the rat Muppet back onto.
Oh my God, I know.
So what is the reason behind that? You've done some hard research, crunched the numbers. Well,
from what I've researched and talking to the Muppets themselves, it is just a matter of Steve Whitmire's. They had a falling out.
Oh, okay.
And he's the voice of Rizzo.
Yeah.
Well,
that makes sense because Kermit's obviously not Steve Whitmire anymore, is he?
No. And I'm sorry to the guy who's currently doing his voice. I don't know your name.
No.
And
it's bad.
He probably doesn't even know his name. So, but with Kermit, with Steve Whitmire and this, I think they also spent a lot of time in the sound booth making little touches to little inflections and stuff. So to really try and make it sound like Kermit has always sounded, because I think they were quite nervous about that, really. Like, you know, how are people going to feel about, you know, Kielbasa's there with his mum and his grandma making notes?
I've always been critical.
Yeah.
I mean, these things matter to me. I don't pay attention to politics or sports, but I pay attention to the Muppets.
Yeah, but I think it is a real Jim Henson performance, though. Do you? I think it is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think it sounds a lot like him.
I mean, one thing to note, unless you're like a diehard Muppet, you know, you do your research and you check. Mm-hmm. I was hoping there's a, you know how there's like Deadheads for the Grateful Dead? I was hoping there's like for Muppets something.
They're called Muppets.
Muppets. Okay. It's not always the person who performs the puppet that also does the voice, which is really confusing and odd because, like you said, it's a 30-year anniversary. They did a live performance at D23, which is Disney's convention, and they had one person doing the voice of both Piggy and Fozzie, but puppeteering, I believe, just Piggy, while someone else was puppeteering Fozzie. Mm. I mean, that was a live event, but even... like, for, you know, you mentioned Dark Crystal. Jim Henson, I believe, puppeteered the lead character, but didn't voice the lead character. It was someone else that voiced it. So that's a very common thing, you know. And Jim obviously both puppeteered Kermit and voiced. So the acting, which it's undeniable if you watch a Muppet movie, that the way they act comes through. They're not just a puppet. There's a lot that goes into that. The performance and the voice. So it's more than just the voice of Kermit. It was the way Kermit moves and acts, et cetera, et cetera. So
to take that a little bit further and apply it to this film, one of the things I really like is how it starts and it says Kermit the Frog as Bob Cratchit. You know, I love that. And you get this, this is not like it's not like a typical movie, a Muppet movie, where they're being Kermit, Gonzo, you know, and all those, and they are themselves. They're actually acting, and at no point do they break those characters, do they?
Yeah.
So it is quite a unique Muppet film, I think, in that regard. And actually, you know, they are great actors, aren't they? And you really see how good they are at literally just acting. And the way the puppeteers must obviously have such a kind of a relationship with the puppets, so that, you know, you always know what Kermit's thinking, even though he's not got blinking eyes, and, you know, just, and he's got a tongue that is made out of felt. But the way he moves his mouth, his mouth, you know.
Anytime he's upset and like that upper lip goes down, mm-hmm. like, I love it's that. So amazing.
It is.
And just in case we didn't say it already, though, I mean, you're saying, you know, the Muppets are playing themselves. Gonzo is Charles Dickens mm-hmm. in this version, mm-hmm. which, I mean, this is pretty well-known fact, but hey, maybe you haven't seen this movie, or maybe you didn't do research before the podcast, or see the movie when you're 10 in the theater. Often, many times, people say this is the most faithful adaptation of the original story because it has a narrator, which, in this case, is Gonzo as Charles Dickens. As the book does, which I'm being honest, I haven't read it. I just have researched this movie throughout the years. So, you know, and Rizzo plays off of him because Muppets work best when there's two on screen and someone to play off of. But Gonzo is Charles Dickens in this.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, I love Rizzo doubting him almost.
Oh, yeah. The
movie. And like, I know this story like the back of my hand. Well, prove it. Well, there's a little mole. And like, he's like explaining what his hand looks like.
He's the omnipotent narrator.
And just Rizzo keep going. Like, how does he do that? Like, the whole movie. It's so good.
It's so good. Yes, sir.
I was just going to say, and it's a different Gonzo, because Gonzo was always my favorite character in The Muppet Show, because he was just...
Blowing
stuff up, shooting himself out of cannons, hanging out with chickens. And I was like, I don't know what he is. I have no idea if he's an aardvark or something like that, or a kind of genetic hybrid of a chicken and something else. But he's deadly serious in this, isn't he? He's the straight guy to Rizzo. He's the straight guy.
Which is so unusual.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you trace Muppet history, like you said. Okay. So, yeah, there's a lot in this movie. Michael Caine, obviously, is Scrooge. Mm-hmm. And Michael Caine plays it straight the entire time.
Mm-hmm. Which is amazing.
Yeah. I mean, he's said that he wanted to play it like he was working opposite the Royal Shakespeare Company. Mm-hmm. And it works.
And I love that he did this movie. I think he said his daughter was really young at the time. And I think she really liked the Muppets, so that's why he signed up to do this for her.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah.
Amazing.
It's really cute, yeah.
So they filmed in England.
Obviously. Where they
filmed the Muppet Show in England, too.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Don't talk to me if I don't know that.
Well, that's the thing.
Dirk was there every day.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're probably the only person here that, I mean, no offense, Marcy, Megan and I talk. But you're probably the only other person here that knew that without me telling them. Because I said to Megan, I'm like, yeah, they filmed in England. She's like, really? I'm like, yeah. Hey, Google? I don't know what's going to respond to me. But yeah, they did film in England as well as The Muppet Show, which...
Yeah, I feel it's kind of a bit British, isn't it? The Muppets are a feel to me like a bit British. I always think like Fraggle Rock is very... Maybe you get a different version of Fraggle Rock. I've always wondered about that. But you know the bits in the lighthouse. Do you have an Americanized?
Oh my
version?
God! You must, because it's not a lighthouse for us. It's a work shed.
Oh, it's a lighthouse over here.
So your dock is different.
Well, he's not a dock. That's he's really a lighthouse weird. Operator.
Oh my God!
What?
That's completely different here. Yeah, it's a character that goes with a nickname of Doc. And he's just like a tinkerer in his shed with.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
Well, maybe I'm misremembering
I feel so
it,
chipped
but I
off
don't.
Right
now. No, I don't. I don't think you necessarily are.
I'm pretty sure he's a lighthouse operator. Yeah. Well, there was two as well. So there was one, and then somebody else replaced him. So I'm pretty sure he was a lighthouse operator.
Oh no, not here.
Ooh, spicy.
Yeah. So did he have a dog?
Yes, he had a dog, and I was going to say he was in the opening.
Rocket?
He was in the opening. Yes. He was in the opening song, wasn't he?
Yes, mm-hmm. He was hanging out of a window.
Yes,
is his name Sprocket?
Yes, his name is Sprocket.
Okay.
Yeah,
interesting. We'll have to look into this further. Mm-hmm. But so, I want to doubt if there's variation.
I need something to do while Marcy's off, so I guess the three of us are starting the Fraggle Rock.
Oh my God!
Review.
You're gonna take a Muppet like college course or something.
Yeah, that's We've actually been watching Fraggle. We went back to Fraggle Rock. We've been watching it recently.
Wow.
Megan had a hankering one day. She messaged me and was sad.
Yeah, I feel like I'm in the mood to watch it.
Yeah. Oh,
what do you like about
it, start to finish?
Yeah, what do you like about Fraggle Rock, especially?
Oh gosh, I just have such fond memories of it when I was a kid. I like wanted to live in Fraggle Rock. Mm-hmm. Like I wanted to like climb around through the tunnels, and you know, I just loved everything about it.
I always wanted to.
It's been a long time.
I always wanted to eat the construction things.
The boozers.
Like, who doesn't want to just eat that? And I always remember the episode where Red said to the Fraggles, look, we shouldn't eat it. You know, they're making all of this stuff and we're breaking down eating it. And so nobody ate it. And the doozers were just like, well, we've got no role in life now, have we? And they just were just so bored and just like, what is life?
Ecosystem.
Yeah. And that's it. The ecosystem.
Yeah.
Collapsed. All because of good intention.
It's almost like you could learn something from that. Yeah, I just don't know what it is.
I don't know. Something. Be kind. But I think, can we get back to Michael Caine just ever so slightly?
Michael Caine. Yeah. Yes.
I think you can tell from the very first thing he says, which is humbug, that he is taking no prisoners. He's not kind of going like, humbug, or any, what is he? He's like a real straight, like you were saying, played it entirely straight. But I was like tearing up with Michael Caine's performance when he sees himself as a young Scrooge in When the Ghost of Christmas Past takes him to the school, and he's making excuses about why he never went home at Christmas, and you can tell he doesn't even believe his excuses. I'm like, oh, Michael, have a sit down. Do you need a cuddle? But it's just like, it's brutal. It's brutal, isn't it? It's so genuine and heartfelt.
And I think that beginning song is such a good introduction to understand the character. But I just have to mention that one part where it's all like the choir ladies and they're like, oh, he must be so lonely. He must be so sad. And then he just walks right by them and doesn't give them any money or anything. And they're like, nah. And like, it's just so funny. I love it.
So I have to point this out because I was an adult until I realized I was always just like, oh my God, Jim Henson, so talented, comes up with all these songs throughout all the years. Just, you know, I was ignorant to it. I had no idea. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, oh, I found out Paul Williams does the music of, he did the Muppet movie. He did this movie. I think he's done some others as well. Mm-hmm. And then Paul Williams is a musician in general. Look him up. But honestly, it's not the movie Phantom of the Paradise, which Paul Williams is the music of, and he's in.
Oh, wow. Does he do that?
Yes, he's in it too, and he does all the music in it. Definitely see it. And also, this is a very sidetracky thing, but the lead of the actress in Suspiria, the original version by Argento, she is in it, and she's a wonderful singer. Oh, wow. And it's really her singing. So there's a lot of worlds coming together. But yeah, Paul Williams, check him out.
And this is his. He is Scrooge, basically. Paul Williams has a redemption in this film. Do you know the story?
He was. I know he's sobered up.
Yeah, he's right sobered up. Yeah, so you mentioned he was on the Muppet movie and another one, and he actually wrote Rainbow Connection. He wrote that, but he hadn't been used for a while because he was drunk as a skunk. And Jim Henson just sort of didn't go back to him because he was so out of it. And I read a story whereby in this, when he went and to meet Michael Caine was recording a song. He said, "Oh, it's such a pleasure to meet you." And Michael's like, "We spent a whole weekend together." Blah blah blah, and he just had no memory of it. But I think Brian Henson went back to Paul Williams and when he was sober and said, "Look," because he really loved Paul Williams' songs for the Muppets. Said, "Do you want to do it?" And the studio were a bit unsure because of the reputation. But then he started churning out these absolute classics. Everything was back to how it was. And so he really identified with the story of Scrooge's sort of path to sort of, what does Scrooge say, a life can be made right, and he sort of felt that, and that comes out in the songs as well.
And just to add in an extra bulb on your tree here of bright light, Paul Williams is still sober.
Nice.
Day.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Nice.
Yes, yes. Aww. As of 2 months ago. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so. During they had him come in for the anniversary.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. So, if you want to have him be a real life Scrooge, he was reformed. So that's good. It's fantastic.
Well, since we're talking about the songs, does everybody want to say what their favorite song is in the movie?
Sure. But as long as I don't start.
I'll start. Okay. My favorite is, and I think this is why we watch it on Christmas Eve, is One More Sleep Till Christmas. I love him skating with the penguins, but also I love the rats that he works with and them like cleaning up the shop and everything. Oh my god, how funny are those rats? Every rat in this movie is perfect. But that song is just really sweet and cute. And I think what is Steve singing as Kermit too then?
I would assume so, yes.
Yeah, I think that's a really good Kermit voice. And I just think it's a really cute song. Other than it ends and poor Ben the Bunny is like shivering in the
I really like that though.
Oh, really?
I love Bean.
I always say Ben. I'm sorry. But they apparently, everybody hates that puppet or that Muppet.
No.
Oh, wait, why are they mean to him? No. I mean, I thought the creators hated him. And that's why they're so mean to him in the movie throughout.
Growing up, I always liked him. And
me too.
Although Megan was familiar with him in a Muppet production that I never knew existed until her.
Muppet 3D movie?
No.
Bunny Picnic.
Yeah.
I don't know that one. Exactly. I
never knew it.
I have a question. Megan, have you ever been to Disney World then? Like the one in Orlando?
Yes, not since I was like probably in college.
One park has a Muppet 3D movie. It's the same one from like however. Bean is the main character in the Muppet 3D movie, and he's gonna run away, and then they all have to like try to talk him to come back and stuff. It's really cute. Where has he been? He just has kind of dropped off a little bit too.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I like that juxtaposition that is the first happy upbeat song of the film, because we've had that there goes Mr. Humbug song and stuff, haven't we, before, and then we get Kermit doing the happy Christmas song, and then we just, as he walks off, we see the bunny shivering in the snow, and that's like a microcosm of the film, because you have the happy Muppets, don't you? And then you also have the sad Dickensian Michael Caine bits, so I really like that. I think that's quite a good, solid, brave choice.
You also find out more about Bob Cratchit, Kermit's character, in that, you know, they're not rich. I mean, obviously there's a hierarchy, you know, being the bunny is poorer than Kermit, but still Bob Cratchit's character is an optimist, all throughout. And obviously Tiny Tim is that much more of an optimist, but yeah, it's like you said, the contrast of the song. So that's kind of the Scrooge message of the entire film too, is a matter of just taking your situation and viewing it from a different point of view and being able to change what your life is by changing the way that you look at it, you know. I mean, is a bigger theme rather than saying what my favorite song is. I'll just say that.
You're not going to say a song?
No. I'll let Megan go because I'm a gentleman.
Oh, well, my favorite song is definitely When the Love Is Gone. I'm just kidding.
Why don't you tell what your experience with that song is, Megan?
As a kid, we would always fast forward the VHS tape when that song came out, just because it was like cringe fest for us as kids. Actually rewatching it as an adult, I kind of was like, oh, if it's in a story, it adds, you know, add something to it. But
even though you talked through the entire thing as we're watching it.
Well, that was pretty much everything.
So what is your favorite song?
I think my favorite song is It Feels Like Christmas. I'm kind of a sucker for the moment when all the happy things are coming together and Bean Bunny goes and gets the turkey and, you know, everyone's, you know, gathering together.
That's a good one. Christmas Present is definitely probably the most fun, obviously. Not the creepy little girl angel thing or the Grim Reaper at the end. That is a really fun song. Yeah. He's the one you want to hang out with.
Yeah, and then when it starts to get dark and the guy comes up with his cape, it's like, oh, okay. Scared.
Yeah.
I just want to put my hand in his whole face.
You want to put your fingers in his mouth.
No, it's not a mouth. It's a lack of head, and I just want to put my hands into the void.
So. Can I just say, when he shows up, you know what was the scariest thing when I was little? Was the fact that, like, Gonzo and Rizzo are like, well, we'll see you later, and you're like, no, don't leave me. Don't leave me here alone, please. And they leave you. They leave you.
I don't think I was scared as a kid. I think because, I don't know why, but...
It bothered me when I was... But you know what's funny now? When you see that Grim Reaper ghost, like, the ghost of Christmas future or whatever. He's so disproportionate.
Oh, yeah.
That you laugh at it and no. you're like, okay, like I can't.
I thought the like little
his
girl,
arms are like so long.
The Ghost of Christmas Past was creepier than he was.
That little angel.
Yeah, she moves so, I mean, they, you know, she's in water. But I never realized she was a, well, not never, but when I was a kid, I'm like, oh, this must be computer graphics, not realizing that she was a puppet. So they did so well. They did it so well.
Yeah.
For song, though, I'll just like choose something. I do like Feels Like Christmas. I do like, I really like all of them. I mean, I really find myself singing all of the songs throughout the holiday, and then I basically just go through the whole soundtrack. This is the lamest answer to be like, I like them all. But I will say When Love Is Gone is not my favorite song. And the reason it's not, it wasn't in a lot of the movies was, quick version is basically what Megan said. They did a test screening. Kids went to the bathroom during that scene. They're like, we need to cut this. It's the dead part of the movie. And slows everything down. And so Brian Henson said, sure, we'll cut it. But you have to agree that we can have it in every release after this. The producer or whatever said, yes, that's fine. Then they lost the footage. And they lost the original version of it. So as it's been up-resed to like higher quality, they didn't have that to match the quality of the film footage. So they eventually found a secondary copy and were able to restore it. So I remember that song from when I was young as well, which is my least favorite. As an adult, I feel like the story still works as fine, but you miss some, I don't know, some emotion that comes through, obviously. Like Megan said, as an adult, you view it differently. But the Ghost of Christmas Present, just freaking his joy and the, I mean, this movie communicates Christmas. I mean, the song is literally called, you know, Feels Like Christmas, or I don't know the exact name. I just know lyrics. It just, this movie is able to me, communicate what the holiday is really supposed to be about and the feelings of it. So I would go with that song. Dirk, what about you?
I think my favorite song is Scrooge, the beginning one. But hold on one second and let me be the lone voice in support of The Love Is Gone, all right? Because I think that the original scene in the theatrical, so it's like when, it's the scene when Belle, Scrooge's love, leaves him, and Scrooge is visiting it with the Ghost of Christmas Past, and he's viewing it again. And I do feel like that scene in the theatrical just kind of ends, and like Belle just walks off, and I'm just,
it's abrupt.
Very abrupt. I'm like, what's, has she gone? Has she gone? And then, so when you see the scene with the song, it's so obviously it's much clearer. But there's she's singing this song, and this is a lady who's a musical theater actress. So she, you know, she's carrying a tune, and she's kind of singing it to young Scrooge, who's off in the background, and he just wanders off. But then bloody Michael Caine walks in behind her in his house coat and his slippers, kind of with his arm almost on her shoulder, and he starts joining in. And then he breaks down in tears as the song is coming to a close, and he can't finish his words. And I'm just like, Michael, oh my goodness, do we need to rub each other's shoulders right now? should we just sit down and put the kettle on and have a biscuit and just talk things through? Because I feel your pain right now. So I think the scene is better. Yes, totally. Megan has proven the Disney producers correct that kids would not be interested in, and I can see that. But definitely now, as a grown up, I'm in. Stick that song in there. I think it works much better. And I do think that there's a big heritage to that song, because it was so, like you said, Kevin, like people didn't have it. You know, it was promised to be in the VHS, and then it wasn't included because they'd lost the original negatives or whatever.
It was on the VHS.
VHS was, but then when they went to higher quality, they didn't have it to match.
So, what I was going to say was, I grew up with the song, but I was like Megan, where like, I was like, okay, like you could tune out a little bit, but I'll never forget the first time I watched it without it. And I was like, what just happened?
I remember that
because
too.
It is so abrupt.
Yes.
Where like Rizzo's just crying and like Gonzo's patting him on the back, and you're like, what just happened? And where was that song? Cause I was still really young, I think. And I was like, what did they do? But when it came out on DVD, they give you an option. In the beginning of the DVD, you can watch it with the song or without. And I think when I got the DVD, I would watch it with the song just because that's what I grew up with. And as much as, like, I didn't care for it when I was little, it still was like, yeah, but that's a big part of the movie. Like, I still understood that and everything.
And you get a little payoff at the end with it, don't you? Like, there's a little reprise at the end with...
Yeah, with Tiny
with
Tim.
With Love Is Found, I think it's called.
And
I think Paul Williams... He absolutely loves it. He says it's his favorite thing, I think.
Oh, by the way, so here's a little extra. When they just look up, Muppet Christmas Carol Anniversary, because they had at the D23, they had the voice of Ariel from The Little Mermaid.
Oh, Jodie Benson.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel bad that I don't know her name. She came out and she sang it. Aww. She performed.
Oh, that's lovely. Cool.
Yeah, I'm awful because I skipped through her performance just to hear the rest of the interview. But I'll listen to it someday. And but yeah, if you want to hear Ariel sing the song,
that would be cool.
You know what? Yeah. I bloody do. So I might try and find that on the YouTube at some point.
I will send you a link after this, and
all right,
maybe put it in the show notes.
Slide into my DMs.
I will.
So
well, that was very brave of you, Dirk. To choose that song.
What did I choose it? I just stood up for it, but I do like it. I will honestly say I do like it. That's not a contrary opinion for the sake of conversation and content.
Next. Well, you picked the Scrooge song, and I just want to mention the singing vegetables really quick because I love them.
That is my favorite, I think. Absolutely.
So good.
Any other favorite bits from this movie then, guys?
Oh, bits. Oh my goodness. There's a lot. Well, I have a question. Oh, sorry, Megan. I didn't mean to speak up. I have a question. So,
but he did it again to sin.
Oh, I don't care this time. I can only say sorry once for anything. When they're going into the past, I'm just going to say Gonzo and Rizzo, not characters, throws a rope and latches it onto Scrooge, which from every camera angle, it's attached somewhere differently. But where is he hooking that hook on to Scrooge? Because it is coming out of
called a Prince Albert.
I haven't heard that term in a very long time. But anyway, yes. So past that, favorite moments or bits? I don't know.
What about you, Megan, while he's thinking?
Yeah. I'll think loudly. I'll just say,
Can we just talk about Miss Piggy for a second Mrs. Cratchit? Because in my time, the past year rewatching a lot of the Muppet movies, I'm realizing just how awesome Miss Piggy is. Like how she, I love that she just, she speaks her mind. And, obviously Bob Cratchit's giving Scrooge the benefit of the doubt through everything. And she's just like telling it how it is. And she's ready to take him out, I loved it.
I love, Megan at the end, whenever Scrooge comes to surprise them, but he's acting like he's mad at first, and she just shoves Kermit up against the wall, and she's like, listen here, buddy, and it is so funny, but when they realize, what he's actually saying, it's so good, but even when she's, cooking, and they're like, mother, it smells so good, and she does that, it does, doesn't it, and that Piggy voice,
that's what I was thinking
of. So lines from the whole movie, we quote that all the time.
I love it.
She's the most Muppet-like, isn't she? She little Miss Piggy really moments slip in, and you're so grateful for them, I think, because she's, she is so iconic, Megan, isn't she, the way she's she's like the
diva,
but kung fu, all this kind of she will box your ears in. And I like how she's raising two little Miss Piggies as well, who are just what they call Belinda and I can't remember.
Bettina.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. So much sad.
They're just in sync with each other and in sync with their mum, and they just know they're going to be causing Kermit some problems at some point.
Yeah, it's the total yin and yang between the frogs, also mild-mannered.
And the pigs,
I do want to call the costuming. I always love the costuming in this because, everyone's dressed up, and I'm assuming what Dirk wears when he leaves his house. Mm-hmm. I assume it's not a period-specific outfit.
No.
But I do have a scarf that someone made me custom based on Rizzo's scarf. But whenever I wear it, people think it's a Harry Potter scarf, and I'm like, no, it's Rizzo from the Muppet Christmas Carol.
Scarves existed before Harry Potter.
Yeah, I like how you both went to, while Marcy wears no glasses, both went to like push her glasses up. Yeah.
You sound like Ringo Starr when you say it. Yeah,
yeah, apparently.
Actually.
Yeah.
Actually.
But anyway. Oh,
I'm very similar to Megan, where like my favorite, some of my favorite things deal with my favorite Muppet. My favorite Muppet is Beaker. I just love Beaker so freaking much. It just makes me so happy. But I think the thing that always gets me in this movie is at the end when Beaker gives his scarf to Scrooge. Oh, and you're like, oh yeah. No. Oh, no. It's so cute. And it's like the first time he's gotten a gift, I think, in forever. And he's so touched by it. And it's just, it's so sweet and cute. But there's also something like how we were just talking about Miss Piggy. She has moments where the Miss Piggy-ness of it comes out. But there's little moments for all of them where they're who they are as a Muppet comes out. And another thing that always makes me laugh is Sam the Eagle when he's talking to little Scrooge and he's like, it is the American way. And then like Gonzo whispers to him and he's like, it is the British way. And then later just says like, don't tip the driver or whatever to him. And it's like, I just love that. Like they are true to the characters of the story, but then their little Muppetness shines like here and there. And it's so good.
This is the movie as a whole, but I'm trying to think. Maybe Christmas is the only time of the year. I mean, the amount of times I've sent the gif of the Grinch's heart growing three times the size. But it's probably the only time of year when I feel anything, and it's watching these movies I've seen over and over and over again. and every time this movie's effective, you know? Mm-hmm. I could probably watch it twice a season and it's still effective because I fall in. You are not watching a human interact with puppets. You're falling into the story fully. Mm-hmm. It's like you said, whether it's Beaker giving the scarf or it's not even Tiny Tim dying, spoiler alert, in a potential future. It's Tiny Tim did not die. You know, mm-hmm. It's that I think people have talked about with this movie where you will have all that pent up emotion, like potential sadness, and then a joke will happen. I'm not saying what just happened was a joke, but a joke will happen and you'll break for the, you know, the emotional tension to laugh at the joke and then just find yourself like you're really bottling up all of your emotions and they all kind of come out at once. Mm-hmm. It's just a really great balance of that. Mm-hmm. But I feel like honestly, the movie Scrooge, which is the same story, does it for me as well, but I just, in a totally, totally different way. I feel like this movie just really effectively tells gets the idea across the story and makes mm-hmm. you as a viewer feel like, they use a line about, and I'm going to butcher it now, of course, but about, you know, keeping the feeling of Christmas all year round. I'm butchering the line, but that's the idea. And I really do watch this and then want to do that after seeing this. And it's not because, you know, oh, Scrooge is going to die and, you know, there's his grave and things of that. It really gets the idea across of just like, it's not about money. It's not about things. And it's not about, you know, that side of Christmas. It's the thing of just the way that you impact other people just by being the way that you are. Mm-hmm. And even in the short amount of time that he starts to change, you can see it rippling, you know, throughout the town, and they do sort of talk about the future. He was as close as, you know, he was like an uncle to Tiny Tim and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I guess what I'm saying is if I hadn't seen this movie when I was 10 in the theater, I'd be a total shithead. And this
makes
movie
is the worst of your future.
Exactly. If I didn't see The Muppet Christmas Carol, my entire life would have been different. So.
And there's a kind of a bit in the opening, well, the opening third that mirrors that then at the end. One of my favorite bits, because I think there's so many like little profound statements in it. And it's when I've said it already before, but when Scrooge is back in the past and he's looking at little Scrooge in the school, and he's talking to the ghost of Christmas past, and he just says, well, nothing ever changed at the school. And the ghost says, well, you changed. And I love that, like, you know, it's the person that changes who makes the experience different, not necessarily the world around them, but you've changed, so your experience is different. And for Scrooge, it was a negative. But then, like you say, at the end, he changes again, doesn't he? And he gets his little, he gets his second chance at life. And so that's then all those other ripples, Kevin, that you were talking about. That's one of my favorite bits, that little line there. And what else do I like? I like Tiny Tim. I like Tiny Tim with his dad walking up the road, having a great old time on Christmas Eve. Mm-hmm. And then we get that little gut punch when we see the future where Tiny Tim's dead. And is it Philip, the other boy? Is the other boy called
Peter?
Thank you, Megan. Peter. Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. And and he's I think dad's walked a little slower these last two nights. And I'm like, don't talk about it. Don't mention it. We won't bring it up. I'm like, oh god! Like, how do you put stuff so heavy into a simple context? And it's beautiful, beautiful. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether that's Dickens's prose, because I know there's a lot lifted directly from a Christmas Carol.
Yeah, but even the visuals of like just the empty chair with the mm-hmm. crutch next to it, it's so mm-hmm. sad and heartbreaking. And
my favorite cute moment is Heat Wave.
Oh my gosh. How would they like that. To be unemployed? Yeah. I love that he is unemployed twice at them. Like, they are so funny. I love them cleaning up that shop at the end of the night. It is so
I'm with you, Marcy. Like whenever a rat's on
the ones
screen.
In the spa. Yeah, give me more Muppet mm-hmm. rats, like, please. They're in Muppet Treasure Island a lot, too, and I think that's why I love that one so much, because it's Rizzo and Gonzo kind of as the narrator. Kind of sort of in that one, but then like a bunch of modern day rats join that like it's a cruise ship, and it's so freaking funny. But they are so good in this. Oh my gosh, I love them so much.
The Muppets Take Manhattan, they're in the kitchen.
Oh yeah, they're running the restaurant. Yeah, that's right. Which, oh my gosh,
was my first introduction to Rizzo. So
yeah, I always forget that's when Rizzo kind of first shows up, because I think this was my first Muppet movie, if I'm being honest. Like, I think I, like, maybe have seen something, but I was too young to, like, really remember it. But this is, like, the first thing I remember retaining. So I always just assume Rizzo shows up in the 90s. But you're right, he shows up before this. But let's make a petition, bring Rizzo back.
I know. Please.
He has a restaurant still in Disney World, though. We just went last year. And where the Muppet 3D movie is, it's a Rizzo's pizza shop.
Oh, wow.
it's him. It's all him and everything. Good. Yeah. Bring him back, please.
I know. I want Rizzo always.
Anybody got anything else you want to mention?
It makes me so happy that everybody here loves this mm-hmm. movie so much, because this movie, I don't know, it just means a lot to me. And I always love talking to people about it. I don't know. It's just, it is like, I don't know. It does make you feel like just you want to be a better person.
Yeah.
And it's just like happy to know how much it like does that to other people too as well.
I mean, yeah, it's like we said, it's, if you can, to me, that's the idea of the holiday. Mm-hmm. And once again, really? Like in reality, I should be watching this movie every 4 months.
Yeah.
to keep this message going.
I feel like genuinely you could do that quite happily.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. Yeah. And how many things have you seen? How many, I don't know, even TV shows that will do an homage to A Christmas Carol? You know, it's such a well-known story, isn't it? And then you could be midway watching something and go, oh, they're doing The Christmas Carol. You know, because you recognize it sort of instantly, the design of the narrative and
sure.
You know. So I think it's a wonderful, wonderful story by Charles Dickens, and the way that we feel about the Muppets and the mm-hmm. way that Michael Caine acts generally, but especially here, just makes this almost perfect, doesn't it? If not perfect, mm-hmm. absolutely.
According to a survey, and this came up in the anniversary thing, in England, or Great Britain, sorry, they say that this is the number one Christmas movie. Which, Dirk, you can speak towards that much better than I can. I'm repeating what I heard.
I would say that's a valid census of the population of Great Britain. It's like what I was said earlier on. It's like you almost, like back in the day before everybody had smart TVs and stuff and you could watch anything at any time, it's like Christmas comes along and you'd get the TV guide and you're like, right, when's Muppet's Christmas Carol on? So we know when it's on, you know, so we can all just kind of put that time aside and watch it.
Sorry.
No, yeah, ahead. I was going, yeah, like that.
I was going to say, I think based on generations, it's probably different in America, and it's whatever's marketed to be that way. But, you know, It's a Wonderful Life, I think, was that movie for a long time. And then Christmas Story. They do a 24-hour marathon here. But those aside, I mean, It's a Wonderful Life obviously has an emotional journey. Christmas Story, not really. And many of us will say, you know, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation is definitely one we have to watch every year and a favorite, but it's John Hughes and it's a comedy. But, you know, you can bank them into how you want to feel. It's not really an emotional. There is a slight emotional moment in National Lampoon with him and his dad. But regardless, this is the one for me that, like I said, feels like Christmas. And like Marcy said, you know, after all, there's only one more sleep till Christmas. All these things that just, I love to just merge with the holiday, and it embodies that for me. And I really should start watching this after Christmas, because I always feel like I burn out, like leading up to the holiday, I'm always just filled with joy. I guess that's a word that I would use, of a feeling I feel, apparently. I don't know. A normal person would use. I don't think anyone's, I've ever said to Megan, hey, Megan, I feel joyous today.
I don't think so.
No. But regardless, I should watch it post-Christmas when all the burnout from holiday has happened to reinvigorate my spirits, if you will.
Glasses got dad jokes. Good. Now.
Good. Megan, anything else for you about Muppet Christmas Carol?
We covered most all my favorite stuff. But yeah, I would agree. I have a few staple movies I have to watch every year. Always watch National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Always watch Home Alone. Home Alone 2.
Yeah.
And this movie. And out of the three, I say this one is the most like magical, you know, feeling of wonder of Christmas. And this one kind of hits the hardest, like in terms of, you know, kind of your childhood excitement about Christmas.
I think magical is a good word.
I think if you're going to take a straw poll of my immediate family, my daughter and my wife, then they would go Home Alone, Elf, and there's a British one that's called Nativity that my daughter really loves, and it's actually pretty funny. It's got Martin Freeman in, but I am gonna get this in the top four at least this year. I can feel it.
Nice.
I just want to mention, I don't know if anyone else grew up with this too, but the other thing I really love with Muppets around Christmas is the John Denver Muppet Christmas album.
It's
just as perfect as this movie, and every song in it is flawless.
So when, I'll just tell it.
Hold on, can I just stop for 1 second? Are there Muppets on the album?
Oh yeah.
With John Denver, yes.
Dirk, if you want the key example, the standout track, which we had a cassette of that as a kid, and we would listen to the 12 Days. Is that the song? 12 Days of Christmas?
Yeah.
That one is very Muppet heavy because you have a lot of the characters singing in it. And this is a very kid thing to do. My brother's a little older than I am, but we would listen to that song, and Piggy does a part where she says, like,
5 gold rings.
Yeah.
And then, but she draws it out.
Very Miss Piggy about it.
I think it's either her part or someone says like ba-dum dum dum or something like that.
It's her.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
When she did that, basically we'd run around the house like maniacs. And then it was like floor turned into lava whenever she did that part, and we had to jump on the couches.
Nice.
And so, you know, there's a lot of repetition to the song, so it gives you a lot of time to run around like maniacs. So that's not something I remembered until just now. But so yeah, this is, Muppets were very much embedded into our everyday life growing up. There are a couple other Henson related Christmas specials too, that you should check out. There's one that I just want to make sure, there's some you should never check out.
The one with Robert Downey Jr. Are you talking about?
Oh God, I don't even know that Muppet.
Yeah, like this was like when Robert Downey Jr. was like still on drugs heavily, and you can just tell like he's like glass-eyed the whole time he's not there really. I don't even remember what that one's called, but there is a Muppet 90s TV movie with Robert Downey Jr.
So the one that you should check out, everyone, I beg you to check out, literally, 1987's A Muppet Family Christmas. There's now, thankfully, countless uploads of it on YouTube. You can watch it with full ads. You can watch it HD upscaled. It was only released in VHS. I was able to pick up the VHS It is so good. And I don't want to spoil anything, but I also want to entice you. It is the celebration of all things Henson. It has the Muppets. It has the Fraggles.
What?
Right, and Sesame Street.
It has
right?
Sesame Street. It has yeah. the puppet versions of the Muppet Babies. And then it has a very special, very, very special inclusion at the very end, which I will not spoil for you. So it has everyone in it. And it was a, you know, 87, it aired on TV. That is the one that you should watch. Don't watch any of the other Christmas specials. Just watch that one.
But the Emmett Otter one's pretty good.
I just met with the main Muppets. Okay. Emmett Otter is great as well.
Yeah, Emmett Otter.
I was just saying, I don't think that's on Disney. I just had a quick, I'm just quick checking.
It isn't.
No.
It's on YouTube. Yeah. I just pretended that it doesn't exist for some reason. It's fantastic. If you look on Disney, you'll find one where it's basically they did a Muppet version of like It's a Wonderful Life. They don't call it that, but it's just weird. Mm. Just don't watch it. Watch the 1987 one called A Muppet Family Christmas. Even if you don't watch this movie, go watch that. It's perfect.
Oh, well, I think we took an easy route this week for picking songs. So I think we were just going to pick our favorite Christmas songs and make it. I don't know if Kablasta warned you or not that you had to pick a favorite Christmas song.
No, but I told her what I was going to do, which is basically steal an answer from her. So
I guess we can just, you can answer for both of us then.
No. Oh, no.
Yeah.
We don't have to start off. Oh, I know what yours is, Megan. I'll answer for you.
Oh, okay.
Megan's Marcy's face.
Oh, you're the worst. I'm not sure you're going to say it before you say it.
See? Megan's favorite, the song she begs me to play every year is Josh Groban's Little Drummer Boy.
So, I was going to say, wow, I just drank one.
Yeah, she is not a Josh Groban fan for music. Comedy is great, but not for music. And Little Drummer Boy is the song that she hates for Christmas song.
My least favorite Christmas song.
So I play it every year.
What about David Bowie and your man Bing? Yeah. Rum, pum, 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 pum. They did it, didn't they? Bing Crosby and David Bowie did a duet.
Really?
Of the Little Drummer Boy.
I give it a fair chance.
He just shows up at his house.
I know.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And to sing along with him. Oh.
Megan, why don't you say what I was going to say?
Okay,
it's my gift to you.
Oh, okay. All right. I've been on a Marshmallow World kick by Darlene Love. You know that one?
No, I don't.
Hold on, Darlene Love.
I don't know. Kevin introduced me to this song. I didn't know what it was till last year, but it's a
good one.
God.
Oh my
God. And the whole family loves it, which makes it that much better.
Hold on.
Darlene Love.
Yeah.
Marshmallow World.
Because Darlene Love, didn't Darlene Love do a very famous Christmas song, Christmas Baby Come Home, or something like that?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. That was featured in What, Home Alone 2?
Yeah, because that's a great Christmas song. Or it's one of my favorites. I don't know Marshmallow Love?
Marshmallow World.
World. By Darlene Love. Yeah. You will.
This is their Christmas present to us.
It is.
Right now.
We're going to share this one because it's so big. It will blow your mind. It will change your holiday, your entire
family. It's magical.
It is. There,
I'm so excited.
I've received messages on down days when Megan says, I listened to Marshmallow World for the entire drive into work.
My mood instantly. Brought me up.
It's a Christmas song.
It's a cute Christmas song. Yeah.
And it's catchy and it's upbeat. And
you can dance along.
And she can belt out
very
a tune.
Very peppy. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, make sure it's her version of it.
Yeah, check it out.
Okay. I'm so excited. Well, I'll just go next because my song is kind of obscure too, but it always puts me in a good mood. My favorite Christmas song is Dominic the Donkey.
Yeah, I don't know that one.
Lou Monte, really? Oh my gosh.
For real.
It's the Italian Christmas donkey. Like, that's what that song is about. Oh, my God.
No
idea. Oh, my God. I can't wait for you. Okay, so now I'm as excited as you guys just were about Marshmallow World.
I wasn't that excited.
You need to listen to Dominic the Donkey. It is so good.
Okay.
It's so good.
Well, okay. I will
Who sings
listening.
It?
Lou Monte. It's really cute. It's about an Italian Christmas donkey and how he, like, delivers the presents to children and stuff in Italy. It's so good. I love love it so much. And there's like donkey noises too, like hee-haw, hee-haw, hee-haw. It's really, oh, it's really cute. Oh, I'm so excited. We're gonna have to like report back to each other on these songs and like how we felt.
I have never heard of that song in my entire life.
Oh my gosh, this is amazing.
I didn't even know donkeys could sing, so I'm excited. I will.
They do in the Muppet world.
Yeah, and sure. Vegetables.
There's definitely a singing donkey. Oh yeah.
I think I'm just going to say, before I say my choice, I'm going to say that my favorite, probably mainstream one, is like Christmas Wrapping by the Waitresses. You like that one?
I forgot about that one.
That's so good. When you hear,
I don't know that.
That one when you kind of forget about it. And then it comes on when you're in your shops trying to buy your Christmas presents, and then you have to stop and go, oh yeah, it's got this one. Bum, bum, bum. Anyway, but my choice is from a band called Slow Club, who I really like, Slow Club. And they're not together anymore, but the girl from Slow Club is a pretty big now. She's a big over here in the UK, as Self-Esteem, and I really like Self-Esteem. But they did a Christmas EP. And their big song that they did a Darlene Love cover actually on that, Megan, but they did their own song called Christmas TV. And I love Christmas TV. It's such a great Christmas song. So that's my pick.
So give me a sec. Mm-hmm. Christmas TV.
Yeah.
By who?
Slow Club.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But they're going to be all.
We're going to have to share these songs after we're done talking.
They're all on the mixtape playlist, Kevin. And we do include the link to the playlist in the show notes, so you'll be able to find it there. So there we go. I feel like I'm going to discover some magic there with these songs.
I'm really
Marshmallow
excited.
World, Nora the Donkey.
Dominic the Donkey.
Delivering his Christmas presents, Festive Mule, and then Christmas TV, which, I mean, I don't know what it's like over there in the US of A, but
we have TVs.
But the whole idea behind Christmas TV is a big deal over here with your annual Doctor Who episodes and Muppets and stuff like that. So, there we go. Well done, everyone. What a lovely little chat we had about the Muppets Christmas Carol. If you, sitting at home, listening with your headphones on, you just finished listening to Marshmallow World, but you've listened to us. And if you want to share with us any time that you've seen a singing vegetable, why not write in to us? And our email address is themoviemixtapepod@gmail.com. And we have an Instagram account, the_moviemixtape, where we post all of Mikey P's awesome art and then some different movie posters for the films we cover. And we have an Instagram question usually once a week. So give us an email, themoviemixtapepod@gmail.com. But that's pretty much it, I think, for this week. Yeah. Marcy? You
know, yeah, just have to make my pick if we get to do an episode next week.
We've got our seatbelts on. Yeah. And Cablasto, what are you covering next on Spaghetti and Freddy?
Oh, you must be referring to Spaghetti and Freddy, the podcast where we talk about Italian...
Italian donkeys.
Italian donkeys, yes. But where we talk about spaghetti westerns and the Nightmare on Elm Street film series. And now that we're into season 2, things going along with the Nightmare on Elm Street series. Since we've now run out of movies, we're not revealing what we're doing next. So,
Megan did the show art.
Oh, she did. Yeah. That's not even a joke.
Right.
Yeah. So.
I love that picture of Freddy Krueger.
Thank
so
you.
Good, Megan. Yeah.
Yeah. They say the artist always draws themselves.
I'm not sure how to take that, Kabla. But yeah, if you've got even the slightest interest in Lee Van Cleef, then why? Why don't you give Spaghetti and Freddy a listen? And we'll link to that show in the show notes too.
And I do that with my co-host Yoli.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I need to.
Yoli's great.
There would be no show without Yoli, in every way. Mm-hmm. So,
and Yoli was a guest for us, and we did Hellraiser, didn't we? We love Yoli.
All-time pick from Yoli. Yeah.
So if we have an episode next week. Marcy, you are going to pick the film for next week because you know what? I normally go first, don't I? And what a ridiculous situation that was. Why did I end up going first? I think I don't know. So let's Marcy pick first now. What are you going to go for?
So I did check every box. I picked something that I really love that I wanted to cover, but also something you haven't seen that I want you to see. But it's also holiday adjacent.
Oh, really?
And I kind of mentioned it before in a chat we had, but I want to make you watch The Apartment from 1960, directed by Billy Wilder, starring Jack Lemmon and Shirley MacLaine. It's a very, very cute movie. And it's in black and white, your favorite, Dirk, so well, listen, get ready.
If you want it, Marcy, with that gestating child in your womb, I will watch it for you. I can't wait to watch it. You. I love films about properties. So I'm really excited about seeing that one about apartments, which I thought Americans called condos. We call them flats over
Those
here.
Those are two separate
I never knew what a condo
condos
was.
And apartments.
Be prepared for me referring to the film as The Flat and laughing to myself the entire time. But hopefully we'll be back next week. Well, I say hopefully. How do you feel about that? Do you just want this baby here?
I mean, we can get the baby to watch The Apartment if they get here. But
don't know about that.
We'll see what happens.
But yeah. Well, thank you, Megan. Thank you.
Thank you, Megan. Yes. And Kielbasa.
Thank you for letting me crash the party. It was so much fun.
This was so much fun. Megan, please come back. You and Kielbasa are always welcome.
That's 50% true, Megan.
I was going to say one of us is.
Well, hopefully we see everybody next week. So cross your fingers, everybody. Right. But if not, we'll cover The Apartment one day. I'm going to make Dirk watch this one day, one way or another.
Yeah.
So.
Well, thank you, everyone, and we will see everybody else next week, maybe. Lots of love. Bye!
See ya. Ciao for now.
All right, suck on that, you sucker. Oh my god, I can't do it. Okay.
You did it perfect, you did it perfect, you did it perfect.
Mixtape is a podcast hosted by Dirk and Marcy, mixed and edited by me. Our logo comes from Iron Tooth Design. Find us on Instagram at the_moviemixtape and catch new episodes on Wednesdays. Thanks for listening. Bye!